Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans here to Scooby-Doo that shit. Because that's what we do. Steven Van Patten, that's me. As always, joined by the illustrious from Clark Atlanta University.
Wow.
Mark Abbott.
Yeah!
And actually, I don't know what school Kirk went to, but Kirk Johnson. He's in the building, of course. And, of course, coming in from the West Coast.
From beautiful Burbank. West Coast.
Inglewood, up to no good.
Yes.
I heard about that. Thanks, Tapscott. Joining the Beef Wine and Shenanigans team for the year-end 2021. Get the fuck out of here.
Yes.
Beat it. No, it's like, well, 2021 wasn't as bad as 2020. So, I mean, you know, it certainly had its low points. But
Omicron,
that would be the latest big.
We got attacked by Decepticon, man.
We sure did.
Autobots transform.
Prime.
It's a sick. Autobots got Omicron, so there you go.
Man.
Rusty joints and shit.
It's up to you, Kirk. Only you can stop Omicron. Yeah.
No!
Place the cube in my chest.
I ain't placing shit.
Well,
fuck y'all, I'm going to Nigeria.
A cube, a vaccine. I don't know. What are you gonna do, guys?
I don't know. Wash your hands a lot. I don't know.
Proper hygiene.
Yeah. Yeah. No doubt.
Right. Motherfuckers need to really start with that proper hygiene.
Right.
Of course.
Don't matter how dirty your dick is, wash your hands.
Wash your hands.
I'm just saying. But it's true. It's just, there'd be times I'm in it, I was like, huh, my dick ain't dirty. But let me wash my hands anyway. I'm just saying, this cat's I know who just like, did this nigga just leave the bathroom without washing his hands? He's just using, and I work with him.
And this is why I'm single.
Yes.
Don't touch me. Don't touch me.
I'm just saying.
Did you wash your hands?
I'm just saying. Look, Mark, were you all right, Mark? It was...
Mark's not okay.
You know, it's not cool to break Mark this early in the show, you know?
I have nothing left to say. I got...
Well, that's too bad because we've got like almost an hour.
Yeah, I know.
Rendered speechless.
Yeah, exactly. Good old Kirk, keeping it classy. So, I'll tell you what. It's a year-end episode, and it's not like we, wrote another grotesque Christmas carol or anything like that.
Nice tree, nigga.
That's right.
Nice tree, nigga.
Yeah.
The one that Mark actually started that one. He actually said it to you.
Yeah.
It was Mark, right?
Yeah. Good old Mark.
You'd have thought I would have said that shit. Nah, it was Mark.
Kept my mouth shut.
All right. But anyway, let's do a little round robin here. 2021 certainly had a lot in terms of movies. Jesus Christ. Several franchises were either revitalized or you know, some kind of reboot, some kind of like, it was like the Matrix is back. Like, what the fuck?
Right.
Perhaps one of the greatest Spider-Man movies of all time was dropped.
Ooh, I gotta see it. Gotta see it.
It's just, it's like the Nas of Spider-Man movies. It's
what?
It's phenomenal.
Crazy.
It's phenomenal.
It's really crazy.
Man, maybe I'll go see it tomorrow.
Nas dropped an album this year, didn't he?
As a matter of fact,
he sure did.
As a matter of fact, he did. That must be why he's kind of in my head. But yeah,
Disney Plus was on fire.
On fire. I was thinking the same thing.
I mean,
Disney Plus.
Disney Plus. And they ain't finished yet because we still got the Book of Fett this week.
Yes, I can hardly wait. Yeah. Oh, my God. Yeah.
They're literally like, you know, I see what you did there, HBO, with The Matrix and Dune. And I raised you 3. And it's like.
Right. 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 You know? And a sneaker hit. And Hawkeye being the sneaker hit.
Yeah, that was way better than I thought it was gonna be.
Yeah.
Oh man, it was so cool.
And Encanto is not bad either. If you get a chance to check that new Disney animated film out.
Oh right, right.
Okay, all right.
Yeah. It's really good. It's a lot of fun. So
okay. Yeah, I definitely want to see that one too. For sure.
Kirk, what else you got?
Oh, dude. So Spider-Man. Recently, I did see The Witcher, and I actually dug it. I did dig it. It you know, I'm not a big Witcher fan. I didn't read the books; only saw the shows.
Right. But that kind of seems like that would be up your alley, more or less. It's a
It would. You know, kind of thing. I think I mentioned to you at like. A couple years ago, after Black Panther kind of broke me now, because Black Panther, Lovecraft Country, so it was like always a thing now for me. It's like, how many black people in it?
right.
You actually made a movie that made a lot of money that had a majority black cast, and then you had a TV series that got rave reviews and nominated with a majority black cast.
Yes.
So where are the black people? So now, even for fantasy now, I'm like. You know what I'm talking about.
Are there any in The Witcher?
Yes, they are. It's actually a pretty interesting, diverse cast. I'll say this. I like it much more than Wheel of Time.
Okay. I heard the Wheel of Time wasn't great. I heard it was just okay. Like, it's trying to
be... It's okay.
That's interesting, because, yeah.
But Wheel of Time is...
raving about it in my circles.
Wheel of Time, for me, Wheel of Time feels like it should have been on the CW.
Oh wow.
And The Witcher actually can go anywhere, like from HBO, not HBO, I won't say HBO, but Showtime, Stars, Amazon. Okay. It's good. It's adult. It's good. Mm-hmm. And
CW's not bad, but it's definitely like a different audience.
It's right. A different audience.
Like, it's a different feel.
It feels very more young adult.
Okay.
Older young adult, because the drama that takes place in certain episodes was like, I don't give a fuck. Like, I actually don't like any of the characters, any of the hero characters. I'm like this, yo, man.
Oh, that's too bad.
Where the rest of the black people?
right,
but you know, but I know there are fans of the book that enjoy the movie, the TV series. Of I ain't gonna trash you like that. But there's one thing I did see today that really like, and it's a remember Wag the Dog. And the political satires they had back in like 2000, I think, I want to say like 17, not even 17, before Trump was even, what's another one? That's a great one from Britain. There's another one that's from Britain that reminds me of it, but it's a satire. It's called Don't Look Up.
And oh, yeah.
FYI, it's sci-fi. But I want to say a satire. On the idea, like what happens when nowadays, if you find out, the scientists find out that there's, I don't want to spoil, but you know, and
it's actually in the trailers.
That a comet is coming to, a extinction level comet is coming to Earth.
Yeah, that's in the trailer.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's a comet, not even an asteroid, but an extinction level comet is coming to actually collide with the Earth. And how does, I want to say specifically, America responds. Because the characters are mostly American and mostly deals with two scientists who are played by fucking Leonardo DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence.
Oh, wow.
Dude, they got Academy nominees and Academy Award winners.
Yeah.
Timothy Chalamet is in it.
Wow.
Our boy, Beauty and the Beast, Ron Perlman.
Oh, no.
You know what I mean? It has a lot of people that we've seen, like oh my God, I actually like that person. I like that actors that you see that you like, and they're in it, and they're funny. Oh,
nice. Mm-hmm.
And Meryl fucking Streep is in this, and right, Kate Blanchett.
Right.
Yeah.
Because there was supposed to be like a body double from Meryl Streep, because Leo DiCaprio, he was like so uncomfortable. He's like, I don't want to see her naked.
My little nigglets. I didn't think I was going to see this shit. Tyler Perry's in this.
Oh, wow.
I just name drop. Tyler Perry. Madea Perry is in this. Acting alongside Kate Blanchett.
Mm-hmm.
And they do their job. I'm at a place where I'm like, I'm a little upset at Tyler because he was able to carry that scene with fucking Kate Blanchett, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Lawrence and Jennifer Lawrence in the same scene.
Mm-hmm.
He able to carry it and convince it and sell it.
Mm-hmm.
And you're giving us Madea.
No.
He's not. No. I'm sorry. He's not acting like Madea in the show.
Okay. I was like, what?
But I'm just saying, you have the talent to actually act.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yes. You can actually do the job.
Yeah. So why
you
keep
don't
being like, yeah, why do the
you
easy
don't
thing?
Right, but you don't.
Right.
That's and that's what kind of annoyed me now forever about Tyler Perry, that you know you can do it, but you're like, you'll dumb it down for us.
Yeah. Well, maybe he'll change in the future. Maybe being with
2022 will come. Yeah.
Maybe they'll be like, let me just step up and do what I'm supposed to do.
I will say this, Look Up is actually like so relevant.
Ah.
I've heard somebody say it's an allegory of climate change and how we respond to it.
Mm-hmm.
And it plays also with the fucking coronavirus and how we play, how this is doing. Yeah. It is so relevant, dude. I can't even express how depressed, upset, angry, afraid. I was actually scared.
What?
It's not slow paced either. It's not slow paced.
Oh my goodness.
It's actually really good.
Like going to see it. It's like as soon as they're done here, I'm about to turn it off.
Yeah. And the special effects are awesome.
Wow.
There's some special effects in this year like this. Whoa, you had a budget for this.
Well, they had Meryl Streep.
Well, all those people, yeah.
Yeah, but you figure all that money went to them.
there was cash upon a time.
No. The budget actually was really good with this.
Yeah.
Hmm.
And I wanted to say, and Steve, you should, and I mean everybody, but Steve, definitely, I'd love to hear your thoughts on this, because this is so, there's scenes in this that you're like this, these motherfuckers, these motherfuckers, and you can't help but just think of real world shit that went down, that's all,
right.
But it's really worth checking out.
Wow.
Sounds good.
And I gotta give a shout out to Cedric Hill, he's the one who called me and told me about it, the brother's out in Virginia, and he's like a director. And a teacher out in Virginia, a professor, and he called me and told me about this shit. So I was like, yeah, I bet. So Cedric Hill, thanks, man. Looking out.
Janice. What were your highlights for this whole?
My highlights. I loved all the What If episodes. Like, I think about them all the time. I really, really enjoyed them. All of them.
Yeah.
For sure. Yeah. Surprisingly, I really liked the new James Bond movie. I didn't think I was going to enjoy it that much.
Yeah.
It really, really surprised me a lot. Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, that was a big one. That's good.
That was really, really good.
Yeah, that actually blew me away.
Mm-hmm. Gosh, no pun intended. Really good.
Yeah.
It's always a treat to be with you guys on the show.
Yeah.
It really is. It really is. It's always a highlight. Like, yes, I get to hang out with my fellas. For sure. Other highlights? Oh, there was something I can't even think of right now. I don't know, like just 2021, it was just so hard. Like I was thinking about the people that passed away. Like even like Cicely Tyson, we lost her. There's so many people that we lost.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm just glad the sun came out. DMX! Yeah. Like, I'm just glad the sun came out today.
Right.
Hey, girl.
Yeah.
That's real talk.
Looking forward to the Boba Fett thing coming on Disney Plus.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. The Book of Fett. That's going to be amazing.
The book. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Super looking forward to that. Yeah. Yeah.
I'm looking forward to his mixtape.
You know what I miss? I would love to hear Ed McMahon do that. And now, next, after the Johnny Carson show, the Book of Fett.
Well, sorry, then you got to follow that up with Johnny. That is wild, wacky stuff.
For all you old folks, that for all you boomers,
like, exactly.
Here you go, for all you boomers.
I also love The Harder They Fall, which I think we talked about before.
Yes.
That was really awesome. Can't forget about that.
Like a black western. Absolutely brilliant. I can watch that over and over again.
The last duel was really good. Ridley Scott film, and it's actually
with Kylo Ren and Matthew
and Matt Damon.
And
what's crazy, it's told from three different perspectives. Okay, because it takes place in a time, there's a scene where they have the woman on trial who's accusing
Kylo Ren of raping her.
You have to hear if this is historically accurate, the comment, something wrong with men. I'm sorry.
There's not a
something
secret
wrong
to
with
most
the
of
male
us.
Species because it, the crap that came out of their mouth to try and debunk the fact that she was raped. I'm sitting there like, you know, I could see this in Congress right now. I could see like five or six of y'all in Congress saying some ignorant mess like this. And probably a couple of females sitting there going, yeah, he's about right. But it's told from the perspective, it's first told from the point of view of the rapist, then the husband, and then from her. And
so it's like Rashomon.
It's pretty much Rashomon. It's that genre, I guess. People probably consider it a genre because there's a lot of movies and TV series that actually do that. That formula.
And there's that moment where you're just like, oh man, just the simple fact is that if she's lying. There's a whole lot of hurt that's going to happen before this thing is over. So it's really, it's really, really well written.
Okay.
And it's really I would say it's almost timely because when you think about all of the women who've had to sit before some congressional hearing and say, this guy did this to me. And basically the court of public opinion, basically sitting there going, yeah, okay.
Anita Hill.
Anita Hill, yeah.
And then their response to it, you know, the king basically saying, okay, we can have a trial, you know, and basically everybody like, okay, so now we're going to embarrass the king with this. And it was.
It became political. It became political pretty much at that point.
Very political. Almost to the point where, you know, you had that faction of women that were like, you really should just shut up and know your role as a woman in society and just why are you wasting time with this? Because nobody believes us anyway. So let's just deal with it. And her whole thing is like, no, he's not going to do this to me and then walk off into the sunset like nothing, you know. And it's unfortunately, Ridley Scott, when I was looking at some of the basically when it came out, it failed at the box office. And I'm sorry it did because it shouldn't have. And I think this is one of those movies that's going to find new life about a year or so from now. People are actually going to it's going to get on cable and people are going to be probably raving about. You know, because he said, you know, most of the millennials seem to be impatient with it. They were just they didn't, you know, because it's story driven.
Yeah.
So it's like I came here to see Matt Damon fight. I didn't come here to watch this. So so if you get a chance, that was one of those. I had a choice that day, that or Venom.
Uh-oh, Steven's rubbing his face.
If I sit on my sofa long enough, it'll be on HBO. So how much
is, so you chose the last duel over Venom? Oh man. You're like, you're Ridley Scott's favorite fan now.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah, you will be Ridley Scott's favorite fan at this point.
And Dexter,
you might actually back. Get a tweet. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm.
Dexter came back.
I haven't watched it yet. Is it watching me? Is it?
It's pretty good.
Yeah. So do the a first recap?
They didn't really go back. I mean, it's interesting the direction they're going in with it.
Do you have to know a lot from the previous seasons, though?
Not really.
You can go in cold then.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
You could become a new fan of the series. They give you enough so that you're like, oh, okay. I get what he's doing. And here's one I thought, although I know the other two gentlemen probably don't, maybe Denise does.
Okay.
The new Sex in the City.
Yeah.
Which episode 2. Literally was our episode 2 for me and Ben was everybody's Walking Dead when Negan beat up Glenn. Mm-hmm. Like literally episode 2, Ben and I were like, yep, that's it. We're not watching this.
Oh,
like,
wow. What happened?
Wait, is that a
spoiler?
It is, but I think it's a spoiler that everybody knows of now.
It's a spoiler that everybody knows because Peloton had to do damage control.
Yeah.
But it was one of those things like the only way I can explain the shock is to go back to a movie called Executive Decision with Kurt Russell and
Steven Seagal.
And Steven Seagal. And sitting there in the theater with my brother, who is a huge Steven Seagal fan at the time, and watching Steven Seagal 10 minutes into the movie get blown out of an airlock and die, and watch my brother's face go, but wait, his name's on the poster. He was in the trailer.
Oh, no.
He's coming
that was,
back,
that was to
right?
get your dumb ass in the theater.
That right. is lure you
Not for nothing. Not for nothing, that first Godzilla movie did the same fucking thing
with Cranston.
I'm sitting in the theater getting ready to watch, you know, Bryan Cranston, aka Heisenberg, go up against Godzilla, and this motherfucker dead in 10 minutes. And I'm like,
hey guys, it was an executive decision.
Big man. Oh,
all right. It was an executive decision. Couldn't get over it.
But you gotta love when
wild wacky stuff.
you gotta love when a movie does that. When you go in there set to watch didn't they do that to in the second Godzilla movie? Didn't they kill off what's her name within like 5 minutes?
Zhang Zhili.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Here we go. We're gonna start this mess where somebody shows up and then
gone.
Nah, we don't need you for the rest of the movie.
Even though she was his biggest fan. Bye. Yeah.
Right. It was also like Sam Jackson in Deep Blue Sea.
Oh, that was a good one. Right. That was an amazing one.
Here we go.
Actually, awesome. Funny shit.
Don't tell me you saw that coming.
No. Funny shit. He did that shit in The Witcher. He did that shit in The Witcher.
I can't wait to see who it is.
Kill Sam Jackson in The Witcher? No.
You know what? You know what? They killed the dude who could have been. But no, you know, I will say he's not as beloved, but it was one of those things where like the episode starts and you're into the character, you're like, right. Oh wow, oh cool. And they do a blue sea on him.
Wow.
They actually just do a blue sea.
That's awesome. I love that though. You're like, what?
I was actually mad because it was like, Wait, that's the only other black guy they see. Oh,
that was me and Ned Stark. Oh, I can't wait. When they get to King's Landing, Ned Stark's go.
Oh.
Okay.
That was traumatic.
That's what we're doing now.
Game of Thrones added to it, added new shit to it, and like killed it at the same time.
Game of Thrones was the fantasy version of Oz. Every time you started to like a person on that show,
you was gone.
You just like, you don't even want to tell anybody I like this gone. Person.
Right.
Because next
that week, is.
Man. I do that in my novel, though. My novel, I kill off all kinds of people. It's like, don't like them too much. Bye. Yeah.
Second yeah, no.
Like, oh, bye. Yeah.
Yeah, no. Okay.
That's
it's just the nature of the beast.
And I thank you for that. No. See, in literature, I think it's different. In literature, it helps because, you know, you read it, it's in your head, it resonates, mm-hmm. and you've already had an emotional impact with the literature. I think with film, it's like... I imagine in the books, when people who read it, were it's reasons probably why it got made. Right. Because people who read it were like, holy shit, that was such an impact.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and they put it in the show. That's why the show got made. And then, you know, they didn't know what else to do, so they just started killing motherfuckers off willy-nilly.
Right.
And keeping other motherfuckers that you know were like, wait a minute, that nigga Bronn should be dead.
Right. Bronn, ugh.
Ron should have been dead like several seasons ago. You know what I mean? And you saw after you saw wondering like you just pick and choosing now because you know.
I mean, some are good though, like the Red Wedding. Oh man.
Yeah, no, they were good. Like all right, yeah. The Red Wedding was great because you did not see that shit coming.
Did not.
Oberon.
Right.
That was like wow. And these are characters who are not only loved
mm-hmm.
but rooting for.
Mm-hmm.
That catch a bad one, right?
Yeah.
So you choose not to. The several characters you choose not to do, who people are rooting for, you don't do it. Like Bronn could have done. People are rooting for him, but
right.
I firmly believe I'm the guy in the background. Who firmly believes Bronn is just toxic masculinity personified, and he should have been dead. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Only bro dudes love Bronn. I'm a full believer in that. Only bro dudes love Bronn.
You know, it's a testament when a character is killed off and you spend not just a few hours after the show is over, but like a couple of days. Like these are actors. You know, I went almost 4 days before Ben was like, Omar's dead, let it go. I'm sitting there like it's stupid. I mean, the kid stuck up on him. Omar, the stick up guy, come on man, but then it was the same thing when Khal Drogo died. We had a mourning period in this house. Candles were lit. People sitting around.
He died from scratch. Damn. They couldn't even like niggas didn't even like spit on it and try to clean it off at least. Like when you was a kid and you got a bruise and you just spit on it and just try to rub it off. Nobody even tried to clean it.
Well, no, wasn't there like a witch that like, you know, stepped in and was like,
I'll fix him. And that feels like princess privilege right there. Like you figured because you saved this witch is going to help out, and you forget to realize that since you've been born, that woman has been raped,
mm-hmm. right?
By the same bunch of dudes. She's probably actually given birth to those dudes' kids, and then still got raped later on.
Oof.
Since Khaleesi has been born,
yeah.
And then you're going to be like, hey, you want to help my husband get better? He's a Khalasaw. He's head of the Khalasaw. Exactly. You literally opened the door to that shit.
Hold my drink. I got this.
You just forgive me. All I hear is her doing shit like this. Oh, that nigga's gone. That nigga is. I am not. Oh, put this. Oh yeah, put that shit in that herbs. Yeah, I'm gonna put that shit on his wound. That nigga's dead.
Get some guano.
These niggas got no idea what they just asked me to do.
Fuck him up.
They don't even know.
Man, that's a combination of great writing and great acting because I sometimes wonder how people you go to Comic-Con. I don't know how the kid who played Joffrey did the con circuit, because you know people were standing online like in the back, like, can't wait to get up there.
Yeah. That dude quit the job. He was so good, he quit his job.
I'm going to college.
I feel like, and I'm gonna dye my hair.
Right.
Yeah.
I feel like I'm gonna do an Oppenheimer, create the world's most deadliest weapon and then quit.
And then just quit. I'm going to the beach.
Quit. I can't.
There's probably one of the funniest. I don't know how many of y'all ever watch Power, but there's a kid on there who played Tyreek. Tyreek was during the full run of Power was one of the most hated characters because he was the son of Ghost. And this kid, like before I even watched the show, I used to see people like, yo, why don't somebody put a bullet in this dude? And I'm like, what did this kid do? Right. And it's like, it literally was every week when I finally started watching the show, I was like, yo, I don't know why somebody don't put a foot in this boy's behind or something. Wow. But he was like, he is the epitome of trifling child. It got to the point where he did this thing where he got his friends together and did this. He gets on an elevator and there's a dude on the elevator with him looking at him. And he's just like, And he goes, is there something wrong? He goes, man, you don't know how much it's taking me not to whoop your ass right now. And he's like, what? And he goes, you know what you did. You know what you did. And he's like, yo, my man, it's a character I play on a TV show. And the dude goes, it's not a show, Tyreek. It's not a show.
Oh, my stars.
But it's his way of just like addressing the fact that, yo, it's a character I play on TV. Mm-hmm. That's not who I am in real life. Mm-hmm. And it's like,
yeah.
Wow. Yeah. They're saying the same thing with the actress who played Skyler on Breaking Bad. She would get death threats because, you know, she was betraying Walter White. She's like, it's just the role I play. It's not real life. It's not real life, you guys. She's not married to Walter White.
Yeah. That's some shit.
Crazy.
Skyler was an annoying motherfucker.
She was. I mean, she did the job really well. Yeah. Good standard.
It's like, that was the one show I loved. Did y'all ever see the joke they did after that? Where he, when the show ended, he wakes up and he's back on Malcolm in the Middle and he's laying next to his wife and she's like, what happened? And he goes, I had this crazy dream.
I did see that.
That's hysterical.
That is hilarious.
I was like, that's perfect. I was like, I went and
oh my stars. Oh, that's awesome.
Wait, what about you, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, well,
it was a long year, bro.
it was really. Well, pretty much everything that you guys brought up was kind of thrilling and the whole thing. There might have been full disclosure, something I checked out just out of like intellectual curiosity. House of Gucci.
Oh, how was that?
How was it? Yeah.
House of Gucci is, yeah, it, you know, and it was like the DGA set a screener. I just ran through it real quick. First of all, the cast is bananas. You're talking about how Don't Look Up has a crazy cast.
Yeah.
For House of Gucci, you got Lady Gaga, you got Adam Driver, who of course, in Last Duel.
Last Duel.
Yeah, he's keeping busy. Jeremy Irons.
Oh.
Al Pacino.
Oh,
yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And Jared Leto.
Hmm.
With a
Glam Joker?
Yeah, Glam Joker.
Glam Joker.
But I'm gonna interject in saying I think he's on his way to redeeming himself. But I'll
oh, okay.
Glam Joker.
But his makeup on this thing, you have no idea. Unless you're reading the credits and unless you're like paying attention to the gossip rags, you don't even know it's him.
Wow.
You do not know it's him. It's literally. I put it up on par with Gary Oldman in True Romance.
What?
I put it as far as the disguise, and there's talk already that when they were shooting it, Al Pacino didn't know it was him.
Wow.
Like he kind of came in doing the scene and it's like, wait, who the hell is this? And then when they explained it to Pacino, he was like, no. You know, like that. Oh. Like it's that much of a transformation.
That's awesome.
Mm-hmm. Okay. It's crazy. I give him credit for that. And also, you know, real quick, just because this is coming up in a couple of weeks, speaking of Jared Leto, the Morbius trailer looks crazy.
Yes, it does.
Absolutely crazy. Like this might be a serious home run. At least and I know that's early. That's a very early prediction, you know, not having seen the whole movie, of course.
Right.
But the trailer is bananas.
I was very impressed.
And and I'm starting to wonder, because between that trailer and the multiverse trailer, the Doctor Strange multiverse trailer,
mm-hmm.
holy shit.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I don't know if you guys all saw that, but
I saw it.
Yep.
Denise, you brought up the what if?
Yes.
You saw the Doctor Strange what if?
Yes. Oh heck yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That ties in.
Yeah, there's a tie-in.
Oh, are you serious right now?
Dead ass, yeah.
What?
Like,
oh my gosh.
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
So,
yeah, that's going to be bananas.
Yes, Scarlet Witch.
That's going to be bananas.
Yay.
We have to congratulate Steven. Steven, I don't know if you guys know about this, but Steven this past week officially got his certificate of what is the thing I'm trying to say here? He got his certificate for his psychic work in Spider-Man. Because he successfully predicted that the Daredevil was going to be Spider-Man's lawyer.
Yes.
So he got his official certificate last week.
Nice.
Congratulations.
Well, somebody got to pick up where Mama Montego left off.
There you go.
Might as well be me.
Nice.
Oh shit! This show is gonna be called now Steven Van Patten and his psychic friends.
Right.
I can easily sit here and be like, so yeah, Kirk, get out my head. So anyway, so like I was saying,
get out my pocket, nigga.
But you know, I.
Cheeseburgers.
And I'm sitting there like, where is Mark going with this?
But no, that I was saying to Steven the other night that I was happy that I'm actually happy to hear that they got the same actor and everything, because with Hawkeye, mm-hmm. they brought back D'Onofrio.
Yes. I was so happy to see that. Yes.
And
that was awesome.
I want to thank them, because I spent an hour trying to figure out what was Kingpin's superpower, that for whatever godforsaken reason, he was beating the devil out of this girl.
Yeah.
And I'm like, yo, did you take something? Because she hit him with an arrow dead in his chest. He's like,
yeah, I'm like, yeah, okay. I was,
yeah,
I'm like, got on a Hawaiian shirt, no less.
I think it was mentioned in like the series back in the day, the Daredevil series, that Kingpin wears like protective clothing or something, like multi-fibers or shit like that. That's actually protective.
Oh, you know what? You're right.
My sister was saying something that he has the strength of like
because the dude who made Daredevil's costume actually worked for Kingpin.
Okay.
That's what it was.
Because my sister's saying the only way to get him is you have to like actually electrocute him or blow him up or something, and that just slows him down. I was like, oh my stars.
That's everybody. Yeah, that probably do that too. That did slow him down, actually.
It slowed him down. Yeah, it did. But it didn't kill him. But that was it. Yeah.
Let me see if Echo did that shit. I doubt it though, but.
But I mean, even in the comic books, Kingpin is capable of going toe to toe with Spider-Man.
Yeah.
He's bulk as fuck. And Daredevil.
And Daredevil.
Yeah.
And Daredevil. Exactly. Actually, a lot of the hero. Yeah.
Yeah, a lot of them.
So here's a question. Let me throw this out here. Do y'all think if he was still living, they would have given that role to
Michael Clark Duncan?
Yeah.
No.
I don't think so. As much as I love Michael Clark Duncan, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. I think he would have.
Well, they would have given him something. I don't know what they would have given him.
Yeah. But... Oh, you probably.
They definitely give him something.
Probably one of like the C villains.
Yeah.
There's enough C villains, like I don't know, Boulder Man or something like that.
There's a left D villain.
Boulder or some shit like that. There's a C villain.
No, you know what, Kurt? Absorbing Man.
They would have introduced because they're not going to use. They're not. What it looks like is they're not using the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. actors. For the characters.
Oh, right.
So they could have used him as Absorbing Man. You're right, because Absorbing Man was black in the comics. I want to say there are two different versions of the Absorbing Man, so they could have used them. Yeah,
I mean, you know, now that we're going into the multiverse, you can broaden a whole lot of these stories now.
Yeah,
where they don't have to be connected anymore. Which now I'm wondering if that's what they're going to do with the X-Men. When it's time to see them over into Marvel, will they then decide that everything that happened with the original cast of characters who played the X-Men, are they going to consider them part of a multiverse situation? Because
that would be cool seeing Halle Berry's story.
There is talk, there is murmurs that Lawrence Fishburne is actually the Beyonder.
Oh.
But
he was already in Ant-Man, wasn't he?
Yes, but they're saying that's who he was in Ant-Man.
Oh. What?
Oh. He is supposedly the Beyonder, which is why he's got all of this knowledge. I'm thinking because what is it? The first Secret Wars, am I correct? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. That the X-Men actually encountered the Beyonder. So I'm wondering if they decide to recast the X-Men, will they say that all of the ones that Sony did prior to were all part of a different universe, which is why you know. Because most of those actors, most of the core actors from the original film, the first one back, they're too old to come back to play
except characters. Fassbender.
No,
good. Yeah,
I'm not counting. I'm not counting him and McAvoy.
Right.
Okay.
They might use them for this.
Yes.
What I'm saying in terms of like
action stuff.
And the only thing is what makes that
like kind the of beast.
But the only thing that makes that kind of tricky is that the fact that they introduced or they hinted to the fact that Fassbender and McAvoy came across Wolverine early on, who is still being played by
Hugh Jackman
when they went in the bar get him.
Walks into a bar.
Right.
Hey-o.
But I'm curious to see if that's the route we go, because that opens up a whole new can of
Voims.
Yeah.
Of Voims.
Voims.
I'll just say this. Once I found out that Russell Crowe is going to be in Thor, Love and Thunder, and he's playing Zeus.
Hmm. Oh, no.
In Thor, with Thor and Gore the God Killer, Russell Crowe is Zeus. Guess who comes after Zeus, nigga? Achilles! Hercules! Hey. I'm just waiting for that.
Hey, you know what? As long as he doesn't sing.
Thank right. you very much. Thank exactly. you. Oh my
well,
God.
If they That's stick to the cool points. Yeah, no if they stick to the Marvel if they stick to the Marvel Comics iteration of Hercules, he's gonna look like if it's not gonna be Joe Manganiello, because I don't know if they're gonna be doing that Deathstroke shit again.
Mm. Oh, I heard he's out of that.
And he might be Hercules. He might come back at Hercules on MCU. Hmm. Hmm. And I'll be interested in that, even though I always thought Cavill would have mm-hmm. played a great Hercules.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. For sure. I mean, Jesus Christ. Superman, The Witcher, and Hercules? Good Lord. Mm-hmm. Like, how much money does the man need?
I like him. I like Cavill.
I like him, too. I like
Henry Cavill.
Yeah, Henry Cavill. Cool, yeah, yeah, he's a nerd, too. He's a geek.
One of the most likable people in the world, you know.
Yeah.
Saying that as somebody who hasn't actually met him, but I mean, he just comes across.
Right, right.
He comes off as really, really likable
cat.
Right.
Yeah.
Unlike Jonah Hill. Yeah.
So when I was working at the airport, Jonah Hill, he was flying from LA to Vegas, and he was like, he was doing too much. And I was like, I need you to calm down or you can't take this flight.
Right.
And he was like, oh, okay. And his response like really caught me off guard because I just thought he was going to really mouth off of me like, no, I can do what I want. But he's right. like, okay, yes, ma'am, yes, ma'am. And I was like, call me ma'am. But yeah, he calmed down. So yeah, so I don't dislike him.
I take it back.
Yeah, he's all right. He's all right. I'm not saying he's amazing. I'm not going that far.
Right, right.
But he's all right.
He's responsive to his privilege.
Yes, he's responsive to his privilege. Yes. Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. You gotta play right if you want to fly. Otherwise, you don't get to go. See right. you tomorrow.
That's true. You gotta admit that is actually an awesome power you wield there, Denise.
Yeah. I used to. Yes, it was an amazing power.
Kick people off a plane.
You fly, you don't fly. You fly, you don't fly. Oh yeah.
You're a superhero, Denise.
But then I got turned into humans, and I was like, "It's a vampire. I'm a vampire, so I'm not dealing with the humans as much as possible."
I hear you. Hey, you know what? When you watch Don't Look Up, you and your sister might want to go live in like out in a mountain someplace in California.
get yourselves a yurt.
Yeah.
A yurt.
Yeah, a yurt.
Yurt, couple of goats, couple of horses.
My sister would love that.
out of Mongolia. Said, huh,
this ticket says Outer Mongolia. Denise is like, hey, this ticket says Amtrak. No, but that's it. I said it says Amtrak.
Right there.
You want to get off this flight and go get the train. Specifically said
you're trying
said,
to get to Amtrak. Amtrak.
I would love to see Denise doing her thing on in like an MCU movie. Like she's not letting Moon Knight on the train on the plane. Nope. No. Like mm-mm. You cannot come with that mask on.
No.
But it's my nope.
Nope. You have too many bags. You have too many bags. You have to check one. You have to check one. You're only allowed two bags.
Right. Reed Richards can't get on the plane because he has too many bags.
Too many bags. Nope.
Well, the thing is actually the one you're not trying to let on mm-hmm. the plane.
For right. his comfort and safety, he would need an additional seat.
Ladies and gentlemen, she knows her shit.
Right there.
Well, that everybody else had to sit on the other side of the plane.
Right, for the weights and balances. Right.
Right. I understand, Mr. Pym, that you think by shrinking your carry-on that constitutes as an that does not constitute as a carry-on, but it is.
Per the FAA. Two carry-ons. FAA.
Right. Right. Right.
Oh my goodness. Well, obviously. We had a lot of thrills in 2021 as far as pop culture and nerd stuff and everything. And, you know, we've got a lot to look forward to in 2022. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you know, it's going to be nice to just kind of get us some Morbius and some Moon Knight.
Yeah.
And
New Year's coming good.
And, mm-hmm. you know,
and somebody's birthday.
I can't imagine. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Happy birthday. Happy birthday, nigga.
You got to wait for the actual day. We can't do it early.
Oh, right, right. True, true, true. I ain't going to say who.
Sorry that I remembered.
somebody already knew. But, hey, let's play a game. We haven't played a game in a while. Okay. And Denise is here to torture. So let's play Two Truths and a Lie.
Okie dokie.
Here's how the game is played.
Mark looks so serious.
The three of us, that is Mark, Kirk, and myself, mm-hmm. are going to say three things about ourselves. Denise. Okay. You have to figure out which of the three things is not true.
Not true. So three things that are right and one thing that's wrong.
Right. Well,
okay.
Two things. Two truths and a lie.
Okay.
Two truths and a lie. So three things. We're going to start with Mark Abbott.
Why do you sound like you're the WWF? We're going to start with Mark Abbott.
And in this corner, Mark Abbott.
All right, brother. You can do it, brother.
Let me tell you something, brother. Mark's going to play this game, see? And then Hulkamaniacs are going to come out.
Oh, yeah. I'm the man with predictable answers. That's what I had. All right. Two truths and a lie.
Go for it.
All right. I have a personalized letter from Clive Barker. I also have an autographed copy of three of Anne Rice's works, autographed by her. And my family actually owns a summer home in the Virgin Isles. Which one is the lie?
I'm going to say the Clive Barker letter is a lie.
That is true.
Oh!
I actually do have a letter from Clive Barker sent to me by him in 1990.
Wow. Do I get to guess again?
Well, wait. So now that you know that's not the lie, what do you think the lie really is?
The family home in the islands. I think that the Anne Rice is actually true, because her and her son would are really good with the family.
Yeah, I have no. My family has no house in
Plus, the Anne Rice thing is extra cool. Wow, yeah. That's awesome.
That's crazy.
Oh, wow. That's amazing. Mm-hmm. Wow.
All right, Kirk. You're up.
Okay. Shit, two truths and a lie. All right. Statement one. I seen Gone with the Wind and I loved it. Statement two. I have never been in a threesome. Statement three. I love Dorne from Game of Thrones. Okay. So which one's a lie?
I'm pretty sure you did not love Gone with the Wind. Pretty sure. I don't know any Black people that really like that movie, so I think that is the lie.
Yeah, she's yeah, you're right. All right. She, yeah, you got that one. Yeah. You got that one. I'm sorry. You got that one. Good for you.
Now I know things I didn't need to know.
Knowing is half the battle.
If you were psychic and shit, if you were psychic and shit, you'd be crazy. You're like, Steve, you gotta get Kirk off. Kirk, can't, I can't do this anymore.
All right.
Okay.
Uh-oh.
This will be interesting.
This dude right here.
I know.
Statement one. I actually went to a rather prestigious high school. Statement two. I was actually detained by the authorities at the airport over the summer. Statement three. I actually love tequila.
Wow.
Okay. Everybody knows that you love tequila. That is a truth.
It gave me an easy one.
Because I've worked at an airport for so long, I would tend to believe that you probably would be detained for many different reasons. So I'm going to say that the prestigious high school is false.
No, that's actually, I went to Brooklyn Tech.
Okay.
That prestigious?
It is, actually. I mean, it is.
It is. She's like this.
She's on a different post, so she doesn't.
No.
She doesn't know. No, I know.
Brooklyn Tech. Like,
she's like, yeah.
Aaron Burr.
She's like, who? Star-Lord.
Who?
I went to Brooklyn Tech. Who?
Star-Lord, man. Okay.
I'm sorry.
And actually, you know what? I just realized I screwed up.
Yeah, you sure did.
Yeah, because all three things are true.
All three things are true.
Because I was like, I was detained.
Right.
Right, I was detained.
Oh, man.
So that's my bad. That's totally my bad.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, they actually, I'm not proud of it, but I was actually in handcuffs and oh, shit.
Oh, like, my gosh.
Yeah.
Why? What do they say you did or didn't do?
No, there was a knife in my carry-on that
I should have
got.
I've done that before. Yeah.
Wow. I thought it was because you looked a little too Algerian.
Algerian.
You look very Algerian, this guy. I don't know.
Okay, so you know, I look like Maui. I'm Algerian. You know what?
You're welcome.
You're that welcome. Was it ambiguously black guy?
Right. He's too ambiguous.
You can get it. You can act anywhere. You can that nigga can be fucking Aquaman. He's so ambiguous. So ambiguous.
Aquaman.
Maybe Aquaman's father. I don't know.
Like them ambiguous rappers on songs in movie soundtracks.
I was about to say Jason Momoa opened up a whole new shit for you, boss. You can be like, you can be Aquaman. You can be Boba Fett. Right. You can be any Fett you want. You can be your mama's Fett. You can be
the other Mandalorian.
Right? You can be the other. You can be every clone warrior right there.
I want to be Bootsy Fett.
Bootsy.
Bootsy Fett. I like that.
I like
Bootsy
that
Fett. I'll Bootsy play a Fett.
Steven running around. The Bad Batch ain't got nothing on me.
And on that note, we're going to close this episode out.
Oh, my stars.
It's so good to be back after taking a little break. And Denise, thank you for you know, joining, hanging out.
Thank you for having me. It's always so much fun hanging out with you guys.
Real quick, you got a some social media you want to throw out real quick?
Go to Amazon, buy Gypsy Kisses and Voodoo Wishes whilst you can. I'm definitely working on the sequel, Enlightening of the Damned, coming soon.
I like that title.
You like that?
Damn, I do. Okay. Mm-hmm. Oh, shit. All right.
Mm-hmm. Work in progress.
Yes. And don't forget your YouTube channel. Your
Right, YouTube, DeniseTapscott.com, as well as the Vamps Next Door. Look for Tasha. Oh, yeah.
It's good stuff.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's it for us for
Speculative Fiction Academy.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Yes. We need to
Check them guys out.
Go check Speculative them out.
Fiction Academy. Yep.
They'll sign up for your classes.
That's right. Mark Abbott is teaching. Mm-hmm. I do a little thing called whining about movies. I'm actually about to release a couple of new episodes very soon. it's Jamaica Funk Fit.
Okay,
Jamaica Funk Fit.
I was about to say tattoo-y funk. That's what it is. Jabba's gonna get it to you. Tattoo me funk. What it is. Jabba's gonna get it to you.
Look at that. Kurt's writing songs. All right. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been another exciting episode of Beef, Wine, and Shenanigans. The last of 2021. For Mark Abbott, Kirk Johnson, and the lovely Denise Tapscott, I am Stephen Van Patten, and we are out of here like Belvedere.